So Todd, where are we right now? Because this is the start of a new month.
Start of a new month.
September.
So this is a tough month for me as a one-time former co-host. I co-hosted from my hometown of Chicago, Illinois. And so you've brought me in for the easiest transition ever to go from Chicago, what was that, March, to beautiful St. Louis. I've promised to say nothing but nice things. I will be on my best behavior, but we are now in St. Louis, which is in Missouri, and I'm very excited to talk about it.
We are, and we've got some great beers to be drinking.
That we do. And so everyone, welcome to week one of what we're calling the transition episodes. We have big shoes to fill because Brian's tall, but also because he'll be missed. And so if you've ever gotten one of our holiday boxes, especially the Hanukkah ones, you are used to Chad and Mai's presence. So Chad and I are here practicing for Hanukkah, brushing up on our Zoom rapport to see if we've still got it. Chad, why don't you give an introduction to people who you might be a fresh face to?
All right, happy to. And I want to know, I mean, I feel like we're getting into Hanukkah already, and it's such a weird feeling because we haven't hosted in a little bit. So for anyone that is there for the holidays, hope you're excited to see us again. But I'd love to, before we jump into who I am and who you are, Todd, I'd like to see the chat. Where's everyone from on the chat? Just so we got Ankrin, Ohio. We've got Athens, Georgia. So I'd love to say what?
Yeah, do you know who else is from Akron, Ohio? There's no chance you know.
Not even a slight clue.
LeBron James, ever heard of him?
No idea.
I knew you would. So, Chad, let's do the intro.
Who am I? I'll just give you a quick rundown. So, I'm Chad. I'm actually the CEO of City Brew Doors, also a certified Cicerone, as well as your host for today. And I'm coming in from Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay. Two fun facts.
I don't even know. It's almost a decade since I've been to Oktoberfest. So I don't know if that's true or not, but it seemed reasonable. Had been to Oktoberfest, don't remember it. And I have a 4-year-old who just got tap shoes. So it is kind of ridiculous in my house. So if anyone hears that's what it is.
Does that count as a fun fact, or would you like to use a different adjective?
An incredibly annoying.
All right, everyone. My name is Todd Summers. I'm the Chief Innovation Officer here at City Brew Tours. I've been with the company about 5 years at this point. Like I said earlier, originally from just outside of Chicago, lived in Chicago for many years. I now reside just outside of Burlington, Vermont, home of the first City Brew Tours location. Fun fact, I have two dogs that are both mutts, and they're the best. They're lunatics. And somehow today we're going to talk about my favorite activity outside of beer, which is chess. So if anyone knows how I'm gonna end up talking about chess today, post it in the chat. But there is a connection to our city and chess, so that's a fun fact.
All right,
Let's dive into the first one. First beer.
First beer we are drinking is this. We got here. Does everyone have it from Urban Chestnut?
Schnickelfritz,
exactly. I was about to drink it from the can because I didn't have a chance to get back downstairs to get a glass, but my wife just came in with the save. So I actually have a glass to drink. That was going to be really awkward when we tell everyone to drink a beer from a can. It's kind of ridiculous if I start, sorry, from a glass, it would be kind of ridiculous if I didn't do that.
And so Urban Chestnut, friends of the program from St. Louis, very lovely that they sent beers out to you all. And so we have a Weiss beer tonight. And so Urban Chestnut, it's going to be a day of fun facts. And so a fun fact about Urban Chestnut is that they have three locations. And so if you're familiar with St. Louis at all, they have one in the Grove, one in Midtown. And so they have they're traditionally German themes. They focus on European German styles. So they have a beer garden. with a T, and a beer hall. Now, that's great. That's very fun. The third location, maybe in a different city in Missouri, maybe it's Kansas City, Chicago. No. Not these folks. The third location is, if you're familiar with Hallertau hops, noble hops, you'll see lots of beers around the country made with them. Hallertau is a region in Germany, and the urban chestnut brewmaster, Florian Kuplent, grew up in that region, and now they have a small batch location in Wolfsnack, Germany, which is probably the farthest satellite location of any brewery we've had on the show. So you could just take a trip from Akron to St. Louis, or you could hop on a 10-hour flight, is it, Chad, and go see some of their small batches out in Germany.
It is, yeah. You never we've featured a lot of breweries in City Brew Tours on the City Brew Tours Beer Club, and never have we had a brewery that is in the States as well as in Germany. So really excited to be having some urban chestnut right now. And excited to have this Weiss beer. So it's about it's clocking in around 5%. Pretty, as you can see, it's looks like a traditional Weiss beer. And here, Weiss, make sure you're using the V, not the Weiss beer. That would be pretty amateur if you were to do that. But IBU around 12, so pretty low on the bitterness scale. And when you take it first, are we doing a professional beer appraisal?
Yeah, do it right now.
All right, let's first have a nose. So for everyone who's drinking at home, love to hear what the smells are that you're getting. What's your aromatics? The first step in our beer appraisal.
Is the Weiss beer is probably what, like citrus and pine, like a West Coast IPA?
Bananas and cloves. Oh, okay. I was like, you're right.
Your face was fired.
Yeah, so definitely getting those banana and cloves, and that's all coming from the Bavarian Weiss yeast that they're using. So, like, if you think Hefeweizen have those banana clove flavors, same thing's going to be coming off of the Schnickelfritz.
Schnickelfritz is just so funny. Every time you say it, I laugh.
Now, I really shouldn't be drinking, Todd, just so you know, because I technically have strep throat and I'm on antibiotics. So if things get a little weird, you know why. So
I'm not drinking because I ate too much ice cream after dinner and have a vicious tummy ache.
Well, I probably will not finish this, but this is a delicious beer. It is that phenolic flavors, those banana cloves, I'm not typically a huge fan of those, but this is like, it's a really nice balance of those phenolic flavors that are so common within your German Weiss beer.
Let's talk about the color very briefly, and then I want more fun facts.
Straw? My go-to as I drink it from a Sam Adams glass.
Amber waves of grain, right? That's kind of the rolling fields straw character. So, Chad, should we do more fun facts? That's kind of my thing for today.
Fun facts about this beer?
No, I want to do more global fun facts.
Fun facts about you? Fun facts about the people at home? What are we talking fun facts about?
I want to do St. Louis fun facts.
St. Louis fun facts.
I said I was going to be nice.
Matt P is like, this is very spot on style. The banana fogs are there, but not overpowering. Very drinkable. Agree, Matt. This is perfect, especially if it's a nice summer day. I love Weiss beers during the summertime because they are those kind of fruity esters and that phenolic flavor is just, it's nice and refreshing. And so I would agree. Very, very drinkable. All right, fun facts, Todd.
I'm going to start with my favorite one as a tummy ache, current tummy ache haver. Tums was created there in 1928. Jim Howe, a pharmacist in St. Louis, developed Tums in the basement of his home while trying to figure out ways to treat his wife's indigestion. A love story and less heartburn. Two things that I personally am very here for. Shout out to Jim Howe.
That's crazy that the Tums, something that you is was found there, but so long ago. Tums has been around for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I just, inventions generally, like, would you eat calcium trying to figure out how to fix indigestion and get calcium tablet? We got a question from Steve, and he wants, Chad, can you explain the difference between a vice and a vit?
So they are both wheat beers, Stephen. However, the biggest difference is what they're doing and adding during the boil. So, and also the origins of where that beer is from. So wheat beers, Belgian wheat beers are going to come from Belgium. So, and typically you're going to have coriander and orange peel. So those are going to be added during the brewing process during the boil. However, Weiss beers are just German, is a German beer style that has wheat as part of the grain bill. So both are wheat beers. Both are typically going to be that kind of like hazy color. And those are going to be the suspended proteins inside the wheat beer that the yeast won't eat. And then, so both are wheat beers, but different origins and different ingredients are added.
So, Chad, do you know what wit means?
White.
Do you know what Weisse means?
Wheat.
White. One's Dutch, oh, one's Weisse. German.
Yep, that too.
Blew my mind. Didn't know there were multiple languages. Just kidding. All right, one more fun fact.
Is this from you or from me?
I want you, give me your St. Louis fun fact. I'm going to tell like a bunch of them. So.
All right. So did you know that 7-Up was created in St. Louis by a guy named Charles Grigg, who launched the company? But the most interesting thing is 7-Up's actual original name. I can't even believe this is the actual name of 7-Up. Bib Label Lithiated Lemon Lime Soda. So if you were at a bar, I'd like a, what's the 70s? I'm blanking.
7 and 7?
7 and 7. But it's, what's
I'll have a Bib Label Lithiated Lemon Lime Soda and 7.
And 7. Exactly.
Those commercials can make Bib Label Lithiated Lemon Lime Soda yours.
And it wasn't until 1936 that they changed the name to 7-Up. But it was at one point 7-Up Lithiated Lemon Soda. So, and it originally contained, I'm curious as someone who studied psychology, it contained lithium citrate originally, which is a mood stabilizing drug, until 1948.
Yeah,
I assume that's just lithium that people take, but I didn't know the citrate aspect of it. So it used to have mood stabilizers in there.
Yeah, a lot of over-the-counter products back in the day used to have like wild drugs that they shouldn't have had by now, but it was such small doses that, like, you know, probably fine, but like definitely not okay now. I didn't know that on 7-Up, like obviously like the Coca-Cola, and there's all the, they used to think that like tonic water had curative purposes. It was nuts. Do you want my next fun fact?
Yes, please.
World Chess Hall of Fame in St. Louis. Beautiful building. It has become New York, long time thought to be the home of chess in the United States. It is now St. Louis. And that's my fun fact.
All right, I got one about beer. RJ wants to talk about chess. Todd may or may not have been one of the best chess players in the country at his in his age group at one time.
I'm a washed up former high school chess player, but no longer. But yeah, we were good back in the day.
What were you ranked at one point?
That's not how it works. I'm like 2000 strength, but I got seventh when I was a junior in high school. We don't harp on those former accomplishments, Chad, but if I'll be here signing autographs after the podcast. Another St. Louis fun fact.
So
consumes
oh are you
I, well I've got
my
one.
Turn
fine.
So mine's beer related.
Okay.
So, which makes sense because we are on a City Brew Tours beer club podcast. So it has the second largest brewery in the country. Even though it's not a craft beer, I think it's still noteworthy. Anheuser-Busch.
I thought you were going to say Urban Chestnut.
Urban Chestnut, largest, second largest brewery in the country. No, definitely not. Anheuser-Busch. 13 million barrels of beer a year, second largest single facility that can produce that much beer in the country. It is only dwarfed, it's actually dwarfed by quite a bit, almost 100, double. Coors in Golden can do 20 million barrels. So just to give people a sense of that scale, Sam Adams, largest craft brewery in the country at around 3 million barrels of beer a year. So that one facility does more than four times Sam Adams' entire annual production.
That's a lot of beer. And when we talk about these craft breweries, like the ones that we've been showcasing, you know, mid-sized craft brewery in the U.S. starts at 5,000 barrels a year, right? 5 to 10,000. All right, another fun fact, and then I think we'll get into the second shift. Does that sound good?
Oof, I don't know if I'm ready for almost a 9% beer right now, but okay.
But it's the best. It's like such an elite style. Okay, this is a good one. I'm gonna rip three of them in a row. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
First United States kindergarten classroom was started in St. Louis in 1873. First interstate highway built in St. Louis. Makes sense because it's in the middle. And John Hamm is from St. Louis. Drama teacher taught Ellie Kemper, who from The Office. Small world. But now you know.
Those are fun facts. All right. Now are we doing second shift? So we've got a Belgian triple. Let's talk about second shift. So it was started actually in 2016. And remember how we talked about how much beer Anheuser-Busch? I'm curious to get some guesses from the chat of what do you think second shift's annual beer production is?
I'll give you a hint. I've said this number in the last 120 seconds.
All right. It's actually 5,000 barrels. So, oh, and RJ.
There you go, RJ.
Came in. So it was started. So it opened in December. They opened their St. Louis location in 2016. But the owner, Steve, actually started Second Shift Brewing in 2010 in New Haven, Missouri, after receiving a homebrew kit a few years earlier. So he was testing his brews with his friends. Obviously, this is kind of this age-old story, and he decided to take the time it takes for a second shift work. You have your first shift is your normal job, and then your second shift was his brewing passion. And the first beer he ever brewed was Art of Neurosis, a dry-hopped American IPA, which is fun. And brewery's been growing, and we actually feature Second Shift on all of our Unboxed virtual events. So that's our go-to brewery. So if anyone's ever taken down a virtual beer and cheese or any of our upcoming Oktoberfest experiences through Unboxed experiences, Second Shift is now our go-to partner for all of our beer. So very excited to, I haven't had this Second Shift. So this is our casual experimentation. So we talked German before. Now we're going to get into Belgium with a Belgian triple.
Chad, what's your go-to Belgian style?
Belgian doubles. D-U-B-B-E-L.
Hardest word to pronounce for me, probably. I just can't not say double. So when we were talking about this before the show, I was like, wife's side of the family, Belgian, not my favorite styles. And then I was thinking about it. And anything that like gets above 9% from Belgium, I think I really like. Like once it gets into that like super, they do a really good job of keeping beers really smooth and making them not get really, really hot, which is something I'm very sensitive to. And I think especially like the trip, some quads, like they don't kill you with heat.
Yeah. And so do you know how they actually get these? So Belgian triples are known to be higher ABV. Monks drank them. We have our singles. We've got our doubles, which are going to be dark Belgian beers, a little higher in ABV, a lot of toasted caramel notes, things of that nature, raisin flavors. Ooh, Flanders Reds, Jason, love a good Flanders Red or Flemish Red Ale. And then we got our Belgian triples or tripels. And so do you know how they get this, how they get them so high in alcohol?
They triple it.
So because the yeast just eating, you know, brewing process, the yeast eats sugar, they create CO2 and alcohol. However, the yeast need a little bit of super fuel in order to get that ABV up. Because once you get to the 8, 9, 10%, typical Belgian triples are going to be around that 10% range. So the good bang for your buck. They use a Belgian candied sugar, which essentially gives the yeast, it's like supercharging the yeast to produce more alcohol. So it's a Belgian candied sugar. And so they're definitely, that's how they increase that alcohol on there.
So they don't triple it, but kind of, it's, yeah, Andrew said Belgian candy sugar high, which I guess is one. Officer, I promise I'm not drunk. I have a Belgian candy sugar high. Amazing. So you like a Dubel. What's your favorite German style?
Favorite German style?
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling so hard because Oktoberfest, Marzen's are so good, but I also love a Bock. So a Doppelbock. Depends on my mood. I'm going to say, ooh, Dunkelweiss. Those are good. Maybe Dunkel. I don't know. I love German beer. It's such a hard, there's not a German beer that I've met that I haven't liked. Seriously.
It's, I'm all,
Hefeweizen maybe even.
Ooh, you do like a half. I think
like
you just
half, like, I like a Bock. I like a Doppelbock. Icebox.
No love for the German pills.
German pills. Marzen's, like, they're all so good because, and crushable. I love a German lager. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean that's what it sounds like.
But we're drinking a Belgian beer right now, so I feel like we shouldn't be talking German beer while we're in respect to the Belgians who, I don't know, they know their way around a brewery.
True.
And this one's very nice. You get a lot of those fruity esters that come from the higher ABV yeast and the Belgian triple yeast.
It's 9%, right?
8.7. It's got a tiny bit of heat at the end, which I don't mind because of these beers, they need a full body because they are so high in alcohol. Like if it was thin, it wouldn't really taste very good. A Belgian triple. My favorite Belgian triple and the best bang for your buck, and it's actually the first Belgian triple to be available commercially in the United States, is from Cambridge Brewing Company in Boston, Massachusetts, third oldest brew pub in the country. And they were one of the first breweries to release a Belgian triple that was called Triple Threat back in 1988, I think it was. So, and you can still get a bomber of that if you're in the Boston area for $6 or $7 at 10%.
You can't get anything for $6 or $7 in Boston.
It's the best deal.
Back to St. Louis, fun fact, first U.S. city to host the modern Olympics.
That is a good one. I got a random, pretty random fun fact about St. Louis. Actually, it's a few. They're all about the Gateway Arch. Mm. So, first of all, did you know that it's the tallest man-made monument in the United States?
I didn't know that. I thought it was the... Oh, because buildings don't count, so it has to be a monument. Got it. That makes a lot of sense. It is.
And you should have known that because it's 630 feet tall. And that's our fun fact from our box about that monument. So that was a fact you knew, but you forgot. Other fun facts, though, about the Gateway Arch is the two legs were built separately. And if the measurements were off by 1/64th of an inch, it would not have been arch. It wouldn't have been able to connect it. How crazy is that? 1/64th of an inch. That's how perfect the two legs had to be.
That's a real measure twice, cut once situation if I've ever heard it. A 1/64th of an inch?
Crazy. And then there's the Secret Service also forbids all presidents from ascending the arch for security reasons. And the only exception was Dwight D. Eisenhower, who signed the order for the construction in 1954.
Impressive.
So not only beer, but those are some pretty awesome fun facts. I still can't get over the 7-Up one. That's my favorite fun fact.
Yeah. Who do we have to thank tonight? We have Second Shift to thank tonight. We have Urban Chestnut to thank tonight.
We do.
We have engineers to thank tonight.
Chess players.
Jim Howe for Tums.
Griggs for 7-Up.
Yep. And the German and Belgians. Belgians. So Chad, if you're listening to the pod, you can also get beer shipped straight to your doorstep via the City Brew Tours Beer Club. You can find your subscription options at shop.citybrewtours.com. And so Chad, in 2 weeks, I think we'll continue through St. Louis.
I think so as well. And this is our transition. I don't think you mentioned that these are the transition podcasts as we figure out now that Brian has moved on. Not moved on. He's not dead, I promise. But no longer with the podcast. We are going to be finding, seeking out how we'll be moving forward with that. So you're stuck with us for now. And that's all we got for tonight, I think.
Lovely. Well, everyone, have a great week.